You're on Joy 94.9. It is Sunday Arts Magazine.
Excuse me, who's that voice? Who are you?
I think it's Brendan Bale.
Brendan Michael Bale, you're back.
I'm back. The B word is back. I've missed you guys, firstly. I've missed everyone out there as well. And I've missed sharing my movie, recollections. Okay. I've got so much stored up and I've got so much to share with everyone.
Get going. So you are listening to Sunday Arts Magazine, and Neil's here, of course. I'm here. I'm David, and I'm Brendan's back,
and I'm here as well. So we are here till 5 p.m. and we have got a jam-packed show once again, as usual. But as I said, we're going to get into some film stuff now. Going back a couple of weeks, my cousin
going way
Rachel.
Back. Oh,
yes. Okay. Now I wasn't sure if I should mention this one, but this is one of my favourite ones recently. I better mention it while it's still in a few cinemas.
Hot's the guy in it?
Yes. I think he's Australian, David. Sam Claflin. Claflin. He's done quite big things. He was in Hunger Games and things. He is the lead in this one, the new film from Roger Mitchell. And it's also
A classic.
It's a classic tale that hasn't really been told properly yet. And I really enjoyed this one. So this is a writer that Alfred Hitchcock went to a lot, basically, for the stories. So this one... It is a period film, but it's got quite a modern sensibility about it as well. And Rachel Weisz is she's not quite the lead, but I guess she is sort of the duo to Sam's character as well.
Right.
So she's you don't know what she is really in this. You don't know if she's an antagonist or a protagonist or what she's doing in it. So, and I kind of like that. It kept it very mysterious for most of the film.
Excellent.
So if you can go out and see that one, I give that one 4 stars. Ooh. It is called My Cousin Rachel.
Yep.
And funnily enough, it is Rachel Weisz, as I said, in the film.
Boom, boom.
So it kind of works very well. The next one I'm not going to spend very much time on at all because it feels like the creators didn't spend much time on this one. This one is called Rough Night, and it certainly was me watching it.
Okay.
So, and I was really, really disappointed with this one because I love the production team because it's actually the team behind Broad City, one of my favourite TV shows in the last, probably ever, really. I'm obsessed with that show. And so the director of this one, Lucia Agnello, unfortunately, female directors don't get very much work in Hollywood, and this isn't sort of helping at all with this one because it tries to be kind of a mix between Bridesmaids, The Hangover, and Weekend at Bernie's.
Right.
And it just falls flat. The whole thing falls flat.
There's been so much publicity on this one, hasn't it?
It has.
And who's the main star?
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, you're screwing your nose up there.
I am.
She's not good in this, or you don't like her full stop?
No, I actually really like her, generally.
I was surprised that she was in a film like this.
And I think she's done this one to kind of show that she's, versatile and can do whatever, whatever people throw at her. But in this one, she's kind of expected to be a bit of the straight person and a bit of an anchor for the film and having this sort of these crazy characters around her, including... I've forgotten her name now, but from Saturday Night Live.
Right.
And she plays an Australian in it.
Oh, that's right. I've seen her.
Kate McKinnon,
not bad.
That's it. And Kate McKinnon she's good in it, but she plays an Australian. She didn't need to.
They're just cashing in on the whole thing of Rebel, Wilson.
I'm kind of shocked that she wasn't in this one because her kooky character would have fit into this one as well.
Because, that's what she does. She plays the outspoken, Australian person in all these films now, doesn't she?
Yeah.
They're making, when the
American
minute I saw one of the shorts for it, I thought,
just doesn't feel right.
Okay, how many stars?
2 stars for that one. I'm not going to spend much time on that one either. Another film that I actually quite enjoyed, this came out last week, The Promise, film by Terry George. A very tough subject matter.
What is it?
Well, it's a historical drama about the a genocide that happened after the Second World War.
In what country?
The Armenian genocide,
say.
Which is, and I kind of sort of brought this up one other time with, I forget the name of the film, but Rachel Weisz, she was in it. And, you know, kind of about talking about history and sort of debated history. And this one is another one that kind of, you know, that one, it's hard to explain, but this one, you know, it is still debate about it, which is horrifying that, you know, the Turkish government had, you know, never admitted to it and still hasn't to this day.
Well, the Turkish government are a little bit all over the place now, but that's, you know, well, that's another story for
that
another
is a whole
time.
Other story. But this is, as I said, a historical sort of document of this time. It is, you know, it's not a real, you know, these aren't real people, I don't think, in this one, but, you know, based around real events. But, and this has actually got one of, I think it's one of your favourite actors, Oscar Isaac, in this one as well. He is quite impressive.
Who's he? I'm squinting.
I thought you
like show
it.
Me. Is there a photo?
But he plays an Armenian in this film, and he actually plays it quite well. Okay. I'm making things up, David.
Yeah, maybe you are. Maybe, yeah. Well, hey, you could be right. Yeah, like the name doesn't ring a bell, but it doesn't mean anything.
Well, this is true. But he's had a bit of a good run in Hollywood in the last sort of, say, five years.
Yep.
And played in one of the X-Men films as well as the Nemesis.
Right. But the thing is, this one, I haven't seen one thing about it.
No, it is.
Have you, Neil? No, you're aware of it? No.
Not aware of this one.
Which is strange because it's... But you're correct. There hasn't been much sort of publicity for this one, but with a $90 million budget,
US
budget, it's
an interesting
one. They should
have donated that to Joy.
They should have.
Now, if you want to donate, it's not too late. Radiothon finishes at the end of this week. This week we're in now. So come on, do it. You can win a trip.
That was it was a long lead-in to get to that, wasn't it? It's all been a ruse to get to that point.
Exactly.
But get onto joy.org.au, super easy. Now, another film. So we're moving up a little bit now, David, and we're getting to my favourite film out of these five films that I'm covering today, A Quiet Passion.
Lots of publicity and lots of advertising for it. So it's... like My Cousin Rachel in a period film.
Period drama, but this one is, you know, more based in reality. Mm. It is the sort of about the life and, I guess, the blossoming career of American poet Emily Dickinson.
Who was never recognised when she was alive.
No, she wasn't. Yeah. But it kind of goes through her process of becoming a writer and, you know,
and
a poet.
And in a day where women weren't known, and especially English women, you know, like,
American women.
Where English women were being recognised, American women weren't.
Exactly. And Cynthia Nixon has the sort of difficult task of really anchoring this character
person. She's...
she was from Sex and the City.
Exactly. And so many other things.
She's done some amazing work. She's huge in theatre as well in the US.
Yes, she was nominated for a Tony Award this last week or so.
So it's quite a boon for Terrence Davies, one of my favourite directors of recent times. I've actually really got into his films. My favourite, it's definitely my top 10, Sunset Song, which played in MIFF last year.
Okay.
I was completely enamoured by that. This one doesn't quite hit the same notes as Sunset Song, but it's a very handsomely made film.
And it's a bit of a history. About this woman who, you know, like, didn't make it in her lifetime, but now, you know, like, now is very well known.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a tragedy and, you know, not to give too much away, but sort of... Yeah, it is. It's a very tragic story about someone that, as you said, wasn't recognised in their own time, but had still till today has such a strong impact on poetry and literature in general.
Yep.
You know, all around the world, not just in America. So it's a really important story. I really love the character played by Jennifer Eale as well. She plays Emily's sister, so Cynthia Nixon's character's sister. And a young Emma Bell Emma Bell plays a young Emily Dickinson as well.
Right.
And she's quite impressive at the start of the film as well.
Okay.
And then it moves into, obviously, Cynthia taking the reins of the role. But there's a lot of sort of wordplay in this. It's really, it's kind of got a bit of a wicked sense of humour running through it as well, which I really appreciated. But this one is 4 stars, just 4 stars,
okay,
somewhere between 3.5 and 4. But I'll give it the benefit of the doubt because I was thinking about it days afterwards, and
Well, that's a good film.
Exactly.
That's a good film.
Exactly. So now I've thought about it a little bit more because I did see this a little while back in a preview. So now I've thought about it a lot more. It's more of a four-star film.
Okay.
Now, I've saved the worst for last, David.
Yeah.
I usually, you know me, I'm very positive with films. I always try and find some redeeming factor. But
this is getting such bad reviews.
Oh, it's horrible.
What are we talking about?
Transformers The Last Night.
The fifth one, I think?
It is the fifth one, and all directed by Michael Bay.
Who's the lead in this one?
Well, it's Mark Wahlberg again.
Yeah.
And Josh Duhamel's come back for some reason. And Anthony Hopkins hams it up throughout the whole film as well.
He narrates or something, doesn't he?
He sort of narrates it. Well, he starts off as a narrator, and then he comes into it as character as well. It's dumb. It's really dumb. I had lowered my expectations so much because I love these stupid films sometimes.
Oh, yeah, you're good on stupid films.
I do. And I actually really enjoyed the first one, you know, going back, I think over a decade now. But this one is just, it's horrible. I don't know. And it's 149 minutes of horribleness.
And how much of this
thrown together? Well, let's have a look at this. Anywhere between $220 and $260 million US.
Mm.
So we're talking nearly sort of 300.
And they haven't done a good job.
Australian. And they've done a dreadful job.
Like, probably
I can't fault the effects.
Box.
I can't fault the cinematography, all that kind of stuff. But
haven't they, which I think is absolutely hysterical, that they said that they were looking over the Knights of the Round Table, how like these Transformers were.
And you could do that in a funny way.
What?
But it's all done in such earnestness, which is just not, it just does not work for the film. You know, if you're going to do it, if you're going to make it around the Knights of the Round Table, make it silly, you know, make it fun, make it tongue-in-cheek, and maybe people will go for it. I would go for it, but they were so serious about this, and it really is just a slog to watch, despite the great effects
stars?
And stuff. One star.
Hey, oh, my goodness.
If I could give it zero, I could, I would, but, you know, there were some of, you know, the production elements are perfect, you know what I mean? You can't get much better, but that almost makes me more angry, because if it had a good script and it had a good director, these films could actually be something really special, but
I agree. It doesn't have to be dumb.
The ball, so but don't go see it.
Apart from not going to see it, Knights of the Round Table, Camelot, my all-time favourite musical. I just had to throw it in. And I was thinking about it this morning, singing some of the songs from Camelot. The film of Camelot, people, if you've never watched it, download it or even buy it on DVD. Have you guys seen it? Vanessa Redgrave and Richard
Harris?
Really a good film. And it was made in England, where all the musicals were being made in the US at that stage. And they had more earthier feel about it. But anyway, that's another story for another day. Check it out. Camelot, the film.
You're on Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9.